standing in the gap, right? It's not just like a catchphrase for something you find in the Bible. It actually is in the book of Ezekiel. God called out and said, who will stand in the gap for me? And no one responded. Right? So God did it himself, right? He does things himself because people don't obey and they don't listen to what he says. Right? And remember, we talked about Jesus and how he stood in the gap. None of us here, not one of us here can save yourself. You can try. It may be a temporary save, you know, but it's impossible to save yourself from sin. You need a savior. And Jesus stood in that gap because no one could do it but he. Right? And so this is a really powerful theme for us from God's word that we are called to stand in the gap. What are you going to do when God calls you to do something? Right? There are different stages in our lives. And we go through different things, and God is a very patient God. But we want to really try to our best today to take that to heart today in some way, in shape or form, and apply it to your life. Are you obeying God in your life? There isn't anyone that is not called to do something. All of us are called to do something in our lives. We've been given a life for that purpose. And no one on the face of the earth is called into this world so that they can just die and be forgotten forever. Right? Everyone, all of us, we all have different timings and things. We go through stuff when we are young, and maybe some people have a tough childhood and it's really hard to get through that. And to think about things that God might want to use me for because you're so angry about everything and feeling so bitter about all the things that have happened to you. But God is a very patient God. And he says, I'm going to continue to minister to you with my love, and I'm going to show you that it's going to be for my glory that I use you. There isn't anything that you can do on your own, but I'm going to glorify my name by using you. It's a really big theme today what we're learning about is that these people really all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. No one deserves the grace of God, and yet he uses people that are sinners, that respect him, that love him, that believe in him, to do great things, and so that his name will be high and lifted up. It takes time in life to understand what that means. Why should I glorify God? Why should I have that kind of a purpose? Well, you know what? You need to think about it. You need to think about it. We were talking about that with the young adults last week. I shared that a person had spoken about, you know, a couple of things that were missing in his experience with people in general throughout society. And one of the things that is lacking is that people don't think. Seriously. I mean, you would think of all these different things that he would come up with. And he says, it's they don't think. So we want to think, right? It's supposed to be done, right? Think about that. I mean, think about that. Are you thinking about what your life is about? Are you thinking about what's going on in the world? Are you thinking about what you're here for? That's what we're here for, to think. Think. Use your mind. How are you going to help other people? Where are you going to step into the gap to be there for someone? There's a hole there. Nobody's going there because everybody's saying something like, leave it for someone else. They'll eventually go. Or I'm sure that everybody has already filled that, and so it's not open for me anymore. I talked about this last week, right? It's a review. Don't want to do that. We want to be the first, and if it's taken, so be it. But we want to say, no, I'm going there now, and I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to put my name on the list. I'm going to ask what I can do. When my son went away with Pastor Rocky on a retreat one summer, Pastor Rocky is a great guy who's a pastor of a different church now, but he was in Maine Church for many years, affecting many lives. And I told my son, based on my own sinfulness and my own disobedience in my life, I told my son, based on what I had done wrong, when you go there, you tell Pastor Rocky, I'm here to help. What do you want me to do? Don't go to that retreat and just wait for something to happen. Go to him and tell him you're ready in whatever situation he needs to for you to help him. And Pastor Rocky, he didn't know I told him that. He came up to me later on. He said, Johnny was really hopeful. Right? Now, you know, I can make a joke and say, I wish you did that at home. But I love my son. And we all do that. I did. I have all these memories of myself not stepping in the gap and not doing what my dad said to do. So we all fall short. But that's what we want to do. We don't want to stay there, right? We don't want to stay in that place where people are saying, oh, I'm just going to go off on my own and do things and let everybody else help. Just start thinking. What do you do when you think about the pastor? What's he doing up there? He's doing all these things, right? With Pastor Rocky, he's running around and doing these things. So why is he alone? Right? Shouldn't some of the young people who are there help out? Right? We go through those things. We grow up through those kind of things in life. But man, don't forget it. Don't forget I just said that. Because that is a big point in life. And I'm not just saying it because I'm saying it. I'm saying it because God's telling me to say that, to say that to you today. I'm not boasting in that. I'm just telling you a reality. I don't get up here and tell you things that are just from me. It's coming from the Word of God and the things that I see in there, and I'm supposed to share that with you because you are my sheep under the watch of God, but He has put me here for that purpose so that you know these things. Don't be someone who watches other people do stuff, man. Do the things. Be the one that's going to step up and say, I'm gonna help, right? That's the best thing. So we're gonna come today to a really, really wonderful person that gets overlooked sometimes. He had a big impact. I mean, I read in my Bible that he was a major character in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that had influenced Paul, that even, they even said that without Barnabas in Paul's life, he probably wouldn't have done the things he did. I mean, that's important. But you read more about Saul, right? You read all these letters that he wrote, but there was a person in his life that was saying, I'll help. I'll do that. What do you need me to do? Essential to people that are doing the work of God are people that are going to say, I'll do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to step in to that gap. I'm going to help out here. I'm going to keep looking and thinking to see what it is that I'm here for. I'm not just here to kind of take up space. I'm going to do it. It's great. It's a great lesson. So we're going to take a look at some scripture today about Barnabas. First of all, there's different scriptures I'm going to read to you from the book of Acts that speak about him. Not all of them, because there's too many to read in one time. But anyway, in chapter 4 of Acts, we read about this section of these people who were believing in Jesus Christ for the first time. Okay, so you remember I was telling the children the story about Saul and how people were, you know, he was persecuting Christians, going around trying to pull them out of their homes. You know, that is still going on in the world today. People being pulled out of their homes, pulled out of the place where they live, and being, you know, thrown into jail and arrested and all these different kinds of things. And that's what's happening to the Christians. And Paul, this dude that we read in the Bible all the time and all these great things that he writes about, like love and the grace of God and everything like that, was one of the ones who was persecuting the Christians, and he pulled them out of their homes and he put fear into them. And Jesus came and confronted him. And he said, why are you doing this to me? I'm going to use you for my glory. I'm going to show you how much you have to suffer for my sake so that people know that I am the Lord. So there were a lot of people that believed in Jesus for the first time. There were Jewish people and there were also Gentiles. And in chapter 4 of Acts, from this verse, it's 20:32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. These people came together, and they were there for one another, right? They gave up their livelihood, you know, their jobs, and they started to do things full time for God. And that meant that people were in need. And so they, with one heart and soul, they came together. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, listen to this, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we learn a big lesson about Barnabas. First of all, his name was Joseph. Interesting, right? Joseph. But he was known as Barnabas because it means son of encouragement. So that tells you a lot about the dude, right? He did things. He acted. He saw a need. He sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, right? He was a giver. But they knew him as a person of encouragement, and so that had to have been an encouragement to them. So we have to ask ourselves, and I've been reading this great book about this whole subject, and the guy was saying, what would you be the son of if you were to be known by a name? And son of encouragement would be a great thing to be known by, right? So what is it that you're going to define yourself with? What is your name going to be when people think of you? Not just your name, but what are they going to think of when it comes to mind? He's dependable. Go to him. He loves God. Go to him. Go to her. That person is selfless. Son of selfless, right? This is the whole gist of these things. What do you want to be known by? God is giving you a perfect opportunity, right, in your life. What are you going to be known for? And it takes you into the realm of the kingdom of God, right? All these things. And, oh, Jesus, Lord, thank you. Amen. And you keep your hands up and looking upward like that, and then you're on good ground, right? So he sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money, and he didn't care. He gave of himself. It cost him. But he saw the need and he went and he did that. That's the first thing that's mentioned about him in the book of Acts. And then there's more here. Let me make sure I don't miss any. Okay, chapter 9. This has to do with Saul. Okay, it's a very interesting story because he's going to be playing a big role in Saul's life, like I said, right? So Saul was saved and he was baptized and he was given food and strengthened. And then it says in the next section of scripture in chapter 9, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving through his arguments that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. And they were watching the gates day and night to kill him. This killer of Christians is now turned around, and he's the one that is going to be killed for his faith as a Christian. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through the opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. You ever heard that story when you were a kid? That's where it's from. He was being lowered down because he was going to be killed. Because he believed in Jesus, who he not just a short time ago had been persecuting and speaking against. So there's this great transformation in him. And when he had come to Jerusalem, this gets to the part we want to go to. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. Okay? So he goes to Jerusalem and he's going to join with all these other believers. And they were all afraid of him. No wonder. For they did not believe that he was a disciple. So he's saying, Jesus, I love Jesus. And he's shouting it all out in the synagogues. And he goes to Jerusalem to be with these disciples. And they say, he doesn't love Jesus. He's not a disciple. He can't be a follower of Christ. But listen to this. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Greeks, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Barnabas took Saul, right? Stood up for him, stood in the gap that was there where there was doubt. And he came forward instead of just letting Saul, you know, and his faith be ignored and be looked down upon. And he stood up for him in that kind of a situation. And so people who are in the gap stand up for people. Right? They stand up for people. And we need to be ready to do that here in our church. Because many times things start going on in churches and people start spreading rumors and they think this and they think that and it gets to be a little bit messy sometimes and someone has to step forward and say, listen, this is not godly in the way we're acting here. We need to do things that are godly. And so what did his standing up for Paul result in? He went out. He was considerate and they believed because he was there to speak on behalf of Paul and say, no, this is what happened. He was met by Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. And this man is not the same as he was. He is a true believer and I've seen him. He's going out and talking. You know, that's a great lesson for us, right? Go out and start talking about Jesus. It's a great witness, right? Barnabas could tell them that. Why would he do that if he was not a disciple? Why would he do something like that, right? You hear about him having persecuted Christians, but why would he then be going out and telling people, I was wrong. Jesus is the Savior, and he met me. And now I'm baptized, and I'm telling you that he's the truth. Right? And so those kind of things make an impression on us also, right? It was a great encouragement to Saul to hear that a person was going to stand up for him, and he didn't disappear. He didn't disappear. He was there for Saul. And he was also, you know, all these different things were going on in the world with Christians and coming out for the first time and believing in Jesus and the Jews saying, no, you're wrong, and how could you possibly believe in him and things like that. And so all this stuff was going on. And in the midst of all of that stood this man, this brother in Christ, Barnabas, who was an encourager and was given that gift and that calling by God to go into those situations and to bring peace. Not just peace for peace's sake, so that the gospel would be free to go out. Right? Powerful. Go to another section of scripture. Chapter 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen died for the sake of Christ. And when that happened, people scattered because they were being hunted. They were being hunted and they were in fear because they were going to be hunted down and killed like Stephen was. He stood up in front of the people and told them, you're going to die if you don't have Jesus Christ. You have sinned and killed the very Son of God. And they hated him saying that, so they killed Stephen. They stoned him. And meanwhile, he looked up at heaven and saw Jesus. And he went to be with him when they killed him. So those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Antioch is an important place, okay? All of them are, but Antioch. Speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, those are the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, that's the headquarters of Christianity in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Okay, so Barnabas was in Jerusalem, and they sent him to Antioch, where Saul where all these people were, right? And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people who were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church there, and they taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Remember that. It's the first time there in Antioch that people were called Christians. Little Christs. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over the world, and this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one, according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So first of all, okay, to go back, we learned different things about Barnabas here, but what was going on at this time is just fascinating, because it's a view into the first Christians, okay? And this is important for us to know. So they were all scattered, right? But there were people there that were not belonging to the Jewish people from Greece. So there were Gentiles. And they came to when all these people came to Antioch, they spoke to all of them and they preached the Lord, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to him. And then that got back to Jerusalem, because they were thinking, wait a minute, these are non-Jews, okay? And we want to make sure everything is being done and understood in the right way there. So they sent Barnabas to Antioch to see and to confirm it, right? So this is a man that they chose to go there. Why? Why?
He was reliable and he'd go.
He was reliable, he would go, he was sound. He had a man for a heart for God. He understood people, right? Many different reasons. He was an encourager. They didn't go down, send him down there to be able to bring, you know, hellfire. He went down there with the proper heart. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He encouraged them in their faith. New believers need encouragement. Right? We need to remember that. If you are baptized and you stop learning, your baptism is in grave danger. Okay? And I'm telling you from experience, many people do not continue to read God's word or go to church after they have been baptized, and your baptism is in grave danger. Right? You do not want to live on the fact that you proclaim Christ there. You're goal is to go out with it and to learn from God through his word what it means to be a Christian and to teach things to other people just like this in Acts. You are to know it backwards and forwards as Christians. Not just kind of blindly or vaguely remembering something. You are to spend time in it so that it becomes your own. And you are going to make mistakes. When I was in Germany, I started to preach for the first time. This church was big on, you know, when a person is baptized, right? They put them to work right away. And I was like, okay, I don't know. I grew up with the Bible and I know these things and things like that. But this guy said to me, I think I would like for you just to preach a word. So I got up in front of all these people that I knew them pretty well. It wasn't just Germans. There was an American army base there, an Air Force base. And so this church was started in World War II in Germany by the Americans. And then the Germans caught on to it, and they started to meet there as well. So that's where we were going to church. I stood up there, and I said that, you know, I said to the people, honestly, I'm afraid, and I had a dream last night, that I was going to make a mistake in my sermon. Because I was nervous. It was the first time, you know? And so the first thing that came out of my mouth was wrong. And they all went, and they had these smiles on their face, and they were like, you just made it. It was a true dream. So, but they were very encouraging. They were encouraging to me. They didn't say, oh, get him off of there. You know, we can't do that anymore. He can't preach anymore. They just came up to me and told me you were wrong. But it was a wake-up call for me, and I started to look at my Bible more seriously, and I realized that there are things there that I don't know and I need to learn. You have to. Sure, you might make a mistake. Sure, you might forget somebody's name. Sure, you might do this. But you have to get into the Word, and you have to get to the point where you know it. Because it's everything. It's nothing about us. It's all about God and God's Word that people need to hear. It's not my words. Even if I'm an encouraging person, people need the Lord, not John Maxim, okay? They need Him. And they need you. So you have to be on top of your game, man. You have to be on top of your game. You have to do that. Put in the time. Just like you would for anything else that you're doing in your life. You're going to do something half-heartedly, right, that you're going to earn money with or go to school with and things like that? No, you go in there and you apply yourself. When you go to school, you are supposed to study. You're supposed to say, I'm busy because I have a test tomorrow. I have to study. Yes, I need to go to church. Yes, I need to do those things, but I'm here at this school so that I can use them. All the things that I'm here for, I'm here to study. I need to get this information that I came to this school for. Right? You have to prepare yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be a person that graduates and can't do what you were trained to do because you didn't study. Right? That's a part of life too. But my point is, if you're going to do that then, and I'm sure that all of you are, that you're taking your studies very seriously and you're going to apply yourself to your work and take that very straight. If you can't do that, then you're not going to be able to do the same thing with the Bible. You have to have the attitude that Paul, in learning about these things, immense change in this guy's life where he was saying, the law says this is the way you do things. And then Jesus comes into his life and he goes, you're nothing without me. And you misunderstood all of the law. It's all about love and grace. Stop persecuting my people and get to work for spreading the gospel. And he was like, whatever you say, Lord, whatever you say. He knew he was talking to Jesus. He knew he was talking to the one who gave him his life. And he knew he was wrong. So he applied himself, and then he went out and he used all of that that God gave to him through the Holy Spirit to teach people the way to eternal life. So what does he do? He was full of the Holy Spirit. That was the way they described him. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Man, make that your goal. Put it on your desk. Put it on your doorway. Put it wherever it is. Lord, help me to be good and full of the Holy Spirit and strong in my faith. Enough with this fooling around. I've had enough with all of that. I've had enough with this other stuff where I'm wasting my time. I need to get my Christian walk together. Right? So you do that. And you have to really tell you, nobody's going to do it for you. Okay? You have to set off time and say, I'm not available. I have to do that. I'm going through this Bible study. I'm involved in the Word. I'm going to a prayer meeting. I'm involved in my prayer life. So Barnabas then goes to Tarsus to look for Saul. So Saul is in Tarsus and he's learning, studying, learning things to be equipped for what he was going to be doing, right? By himself, off in this place, right? Where his home was. Barnabas goes to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he finds him, he brought him to Antioch, this place where the people were called Christians for the first time. And he, for a whole year, they met with the church and taught them a great many people. They spent 1 year teaching them the foundations of the Christian faith. And that's what they spent their time with. And you guys all have to do that. That's the way I'm doing this today. Okay? I have the authority through Christ to be able to say things with that kind of authority. That is what each one of us is called to. Not just some, not just a few, not just scattered numbers. It's each one of us have to do that. And I'm going to use the time that I'm here to keep telling you that. You are my responsibility. You have to get into the Word, and you have to take it seriously, and you have to make God the priority in your life. That is a Christian. That's a baptized Christian. That's a person who's led by the Holy Spirit. Now, in these days, prophets came down. Prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them said this. Agabus stands up and he says, by the Spirit of God in him, that there's a famine coming. And so this famine generates a need for preparation and for money. And so the Christians, the believers in Jerusalem, were going to be affected by that. And so the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers in Jerusalem. They were going to take them. They heard that prophecy, and they said, we have to do something. We have to help them. Right? When we hear there's a need, then we react and we do something. We don't just think somebody else can do that, or we didn't really understand what you're talking about. We say, wait a minute, what are you saying? So this prophecy is coming. This prophet comes and says, there's a need. There's going to be a famine. We got to prepare for it. You need to do your best. And so they said, we're going to take our money and we're going to send it there. And who do they choose? Saul, the one-time killer of Christians, now Christian, and the leader, one of the great leaders of the church, and Barnabas, the one who stood up for him and said, this man is the real deal. So they acted, and they took money, and they brought it to Jesus. They took an offering in preparation for something like that. So once again, we see that that people that stand in the gap act. They do something. That's why it's called the Acts. They act on their faith. Okay? Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers. Barnabas was one. Simeon, who was called Niger. Lucius of Cyrene. Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Okay? The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This was the send-off for missionaries that set off the Christian belief to go out throughout all the region and throughout all of the world. Right? Teachers and prophets in Antioch, Barnabas and Saul, they were worshiping, they were learning the word of God, they were equipped with it, they knew what they were talking about, they had the Holy Spirit in them, working in them, and the Holy Spirit says, not the church, the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Who here in this church is going to have that moment in your life? Straight from God's word. Who from this church is going to be the one to stand up and say, I will go because I love the Lord Jesus and I want to go and serve him. You show it and you prove it by your engagement with the Word of God and in the church and in your work and everything that you're doing. You show that you belong to Jesus Christ and you're an encourager. And you're there to step in and to say, I'm going to do that. That results in the Holy Spirit saying, I see it, and now I'm going to use it for my glory. Who will go? Who will serve the Lord? So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they took John with them. There's one final part to this where Barnabas comes into it, but if you read the book of Acts from this point on, you will read chapter after chapter of how they go to different places, and we're not talking about like from here to Bloomfield. We're talking about from here, miles away, by foot, by boat, by whatever means that they could, but they didn't have all this mass transportation, but they went out to these places led by the Holy Spirit, and they spent all their time proclaiming Christ, and people hated them for it. But among all those people they reached, people believed, and that's why you and I are sitting here today. It came through someone. Now, there came a time when John left them and returned to Jerusalem, and Paul had this bad feeling towards John that he deserted them, but Barnabas didn't. Right? And so Barnabas said, I'm going to go with John. I want John to go with me, and I'm going to go with him, and we're going to work together. And Saul went out with Silas. But Barnabas saw something in John. And he used his heart for the gospel and also for people to say, I feel that we should continue to encourage this person and that they would be used and not be blamed for having left us like he did. So there's another evidence of his encouragement for people. So that's an overview of some of the things about Barnabas. He was a good man. He was filled with the Spirit. He was an encourager. He was a person. I mean, when we talk about encouragers, sometimes we have this. We could have this impression of a weak kind of, softy kind of person. Oh, he's an encourager. Not Barnabas. Change your view of that if you have that. It's easy to get that sometimes. Oh, he's just an encourager. He's soft and sweet, and just always having that. He had guts. He had guts beyond guts. He stood up for a guy that was in need and that everybody was really seeing as a Christian killer, and he stood by his side and he said, this man is the real deal, we need to believe. That takes courage. So this encourager is a man of courage, right? He's someone who goes into the battle, he goes into these situations where people just came to faith and they were Gentiles, and that's not a small thing, man. That he went there and he checked it out on behalf of the people in Jerusalem and said, this is all going on and I saw it with my own two eyes. And you know what he saw? People's lives being changed, being forgiven of their sins and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Where only a short time before they didn't have anything to do with him. And that's the way it is in our lives here. Right? We see people all around Ridgefield Park. We see people all through the New York area. We see people all throughout the world. And they, they have this impression of Christianity, and they have an impression of all these different kind of things. And we come and we offer Christ to them and say, he died for your sins and rose again from the dead. That's why we're Christians. And that's why we're coming out to tell you this. Because he saved my life. And now I'm telling you that he can save yours. If there's anyone here today that has not yet given their life to Christ, please, please make today that day. Don't delay. Don't say, I'm going to wait for another day. Don't wait for another moment. Just, you know, you can come forward now. You can come forward now and sit in the front or stand here and we'll pray for you and rejoice that you can receive Jesus into your heart. And your life will be changed for good forever. And if you're in another place where you're feeling like, you know, I have been kind of, you know, going along in life and my life really is actually much more like some of the people in the world than I'd like it to be, and I really want to make a change and I want to follow Christ and I want more of what God has been teaching us in the Word today, that we can make of our life what He desires of it, you know, that we can really, really make a difference in this world by being His people and coming about that, and that comes about. You can talk to Lee Chan, you know, you can talk to her about her life and how she came to Christ, you know, and the people that were in, the group of people that fostered her belief in Taiwan and grew her faith, and she spent lots of time in that. When I met her, you know, I had been going to Sunday school and going to church for a long time, but my life was really out of line. You know, for me, it's much worse, okay? If you heard some of the things that I was involved with, but I was lost. And I knew when I met her that, you know, and the things that she explained to me, that I had a lot of studying to do. You know what I'm saying? Her faith had been taught to her systematically and lovingly by brothers and sisters in Taiwan in the group that she was a part of. That doesn't mean that I wasn't in my church in Montclair, okay? But the level, the next step that I needed to reach in my understanding of the Bible came when I met her and I heard that I was, you know, that I didn't understand these kind of things that were there. And there are people in the Bible that did that too, for others as well. Paul, this man of God who, you know, had it all wrong and was condemning people with the law of God and had it all upside down, was lovingly guided into the truth, and people sat down with him and they said, this is really actually what that was saying in the Old Testament, that God loves us and that we are to love other people, not kill them when they think differently than we do. And you've missed the greatest thing. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Can you imagine you're telling people he's not, and then he speaks to you? And that's what happens in everybody's life. He comes and he makes himself known to people and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that Messiah. I am the one that was foretold from the beginning of time. I am the one that was there when you were created. I am there for you now, and I want you to be with me forever. Now you have to prepare yourself. Now you need to go into the Word. Now you have to be ready. Because I'm going to give you things to do. And you're going to have to know what you're talking about. You may make mistakes, but you need to put in the time. You need to start to get to know me in a deeper way. So God is encouraging all of us to do that today. To take our life and to start to think, what am I here for? What purpose has God given me in this life? What am I going to do with my life for His kingdom? Begin to pray about it. Begin to pray. Ask God, whichever way that you need to, ask Him to tell you why you're here and how you can serve Him. And get through it.